Good afternoon. I'm John Chambliss from the Chester County Press, and this is Art Watch on WCHE 1520 every Wednesday from 1 to 1:30. I'm happy you could join us. Today, my guest in the studio is Lindsay Schmidl, the founder and artistic force behind Gingerly Press, an old-fashioned letterpress printing company that is taking the instant gratification of word processing that we all know and returning it to the days when printers had to think about each and every letter as they laid it in place. So, welcome, Lindsay.
Thanks, John.
First, I guess explain to people who might not know what letterpress is and how you took a big step back in time with this technology or lack of technology. What is letterpress and how does it work?
Letterpress is a relief printing process that started back in 1440 by Johannes Gutenberg.
Way back.
Yeah, way back. Mm-hmm. And he first invented movable type. And movable type is basically metal or wood type. He invented the metal kind. That allows you to place the letters into a line to form a paragraph or whatever you're printing, and then take a relief print of it. So you ink the type, mm-hmm. and you roll your press your paper into it, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's letterpress, essentially.
Wow. Okay. So you really have to think about every letter that you're doing. So,
yeah.
You're a young artist to be doing this sort of thing. I mean, there are grizzled old veterans who used to do this in newspaper days when they would have to set type this way. But you've taken a big step back on the Wayback Machine here. So what did you find satisfying about the technology? Because there are easier ways of doing this, you know.
Yeah, there certainly are.
Right.
For me, though, art has always been a hands-on process for me. So when I went to design school, everybody was starting to move towards computers.
Right.
And I was missing that hands-on process. So mm-hmm. I was glad when I found the letterpress studio at the University of Delaware where I went.
Yeah.
And
where it had been gathering dust, I guess?
Yeah, it was gathering some dust, but it allowed me to work with typography still, but still have a hands-on aspect to my art.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I really liked about it is the control of the print. I could control the color, which whenever I made something digital on a computer, mm-hmm. it was like you press Control P and it was just printing at the wrong color, it's printing at, you know, the wrong size, or it shifted slightly. So mm-hmm. in this way, I have a way to mix the exact color I want and register it exactly how I want it to print.
Hmm.
So
how does the printing work? You actually crank every print by hand. You have to turn a wheel.
Yes.
Does it just spit them out like
essentially,
a printer does?
Yeah. Right. So I've got two different presses.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I'm cranking the paper that goes over top of the type and presses into the type. The other one, the press is an older one, and it's like clamping down on the type. And I'm basically just feeding the paper in for every single print.
Wow. Okay. Takes patience. You're currently operating out of a garage in Landenberg, but you have big plans to move the operation, and we'll get to that. But there's another aspect to you that we need to cover, so let's talk about the Printed Walk, which was a project you undertook last year, walking the Appalachian Trail from start to finish. This isn't something you do on a whim, so talk about your training. You had done previous walks to kind of build up to that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I had the idea about 4 years ago now to hike the Appalachian Trail. I had read the book Wild and was inspired. I saw through her book that that's probably not the way to go about doing a thru hike properly. She was a little unprepared, kind of just put herself out there.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know when or how I was going to hike the trail, but 4 years ago, I knew that I was just going to slowly start preparing for it.
Uh-huh.
So I hiked the Vermont's Long Trail with my brother in 2015. That was about 275 miles, about 19 days. And that was a really good experience, trying to get some experience through hiking and not just on a weekend backpack trip.
Right.
Because you got to figure out how to do mail drops and carry lighter loads, and it was just a really good learning experience. So, yeah.
Dehydrated food was your friend, I understand.
Yes.
For the weight. Right?
Yeah. So I dehydrated all of my dinners, and that was like gourmet food out on the trail. It was amazing. It was like I'd have a rosé pasta with broccoli and sautéed onions in it. You know, it was awesome. Whereas everybody else is eating ramen noodles. So, yeah. It was
great.
Quite nice, and I had learned in some of the reading I had done that, you know, you need the nutrition of the vegetables. And so where I got the idea for dehydrating my food.
Awesome. Yeah. How did you get the idea to tie it into the art project called The Printed Walk that came out of it?
Well, I had read a book about hiking the AT, and it said that the AT is about 1% physical and 99% mental.
Right.
And so I was trying to think about what would be my potential mental blocks when hiking. Uh-huh. And the biggest one that came up was being apart from my business for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I just had this fear that almost kind of like what they call FOMO, fear of missing out. fear of like people would forget me for being gone that long. And like I would miss the business and I would miss printing and not like working towards a bigger goal. And so the project was really a way to tie my business into my experience on the trail and mm-hmm. kind of make those two something that while I was on the trail, I had something to work towards and a goal other than just hiking to mm-hmm. think about while hiking.
You know, you're thinking visually and thinking how you would depict this in. Yeah. Did you keep a diary as well? A written diary?
Or? Yeah. I kept trail journals. Mm-hmm. I bound myself some small little journals and sent myself a new one every once in a while when they go full. Mm-hmm. I started out writing every night. Mm-hmm. That definitely slowed down as the time went on.
Yeah.
I turned more towards sketching at that point. I went from writing everything that went down that day to bullet points and then to sketching and bullet points and kind of minimized it down a little bit because you're out there experiencing it. You know, it was like I wasn't there to sit in my tent and write all night. I was there to be out there in the woods and experience it.
Wow. Okay. Talk about the Kickstarter campaign, how that worked out for you.
It was great. So The Printed Walk, I funded the whole project through Kickstarter, which is a crowdfunding campaign. Mm-hmm. I launched it in the fall of 2016. It went on for 45 days. I purposely did 45 because it was going to overlap with the election, which I knew would slow some stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really awesome experience.
Mm. It did really well, yeah.
Yeah, it did really well. I funded, I went past my goal. My goal was around 14,000, and mm-hmm. I went up to about 17,000,
mm-hmm.
so which was amazing. It funded my entire hike, and mm-hmm. it funded all my paper and everything for this entire project. So it was a great experience. I had a video for the Kickstarter. I like read all of their tips and tricks on their site and followed it to a T. And within the first day of the launch, Kickstarter named it one of the projects they love. So it's like a highlight on their site.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. It was very positive. So I was happy.
You started walking in Georgia and you ended about 5.5 months later in Maine.
Yeah.
2,200 miles for those of you listening and contemplating that distance.
Yeah.
Were there any breaks? Did you come off the trail at any point?
I came off the trail for about 5 days in July when my grandmother passed away. Mm-hmm. And that was really the only other time.
Wow.
I think early on in June, my mom picked up myself and a couple of my trail friends to go out to our family cottage for a weekend.
Uh-huh.
And that was about it, just because we happened to be passing by that area.
Okay.
But otherwise, it was hiking the whole way through, and you basically stop in a town about once a week to, you know, do laundry, get mm-hmm. food, resupply, take a shower. You know, that would be nice. So, yeah.
So the trail is really set up to keep hikers outfitted. I mean, you have facilities for sleeping and washing, and like you said, there are towns. So there's also rudimentary cabins that you can sleep in, lean-tos?
Yeah, so about every 5 to 7 miles about, there's what they call the little shelters or huts.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're about like a three-sided wooden platform with a roof overhead, which is great for the rainy days.
Yeah.
But oftentimes on those rainy days, you'd have to race to that shelter or else you're sleeping in a wet tent that night. So, and then once the bugs came out, the shelters weren't really ideal. So you prefer to be in your tent. But yeah, I mean, the trail's pretty well outfitted in that way. There's hostels along the way, all sorts of things that you're not out in the true wilderness. You're on a trail, but you have supplies that you're able to access every couple days.
Hmm. Was loneliness a problem, or did you see people pretty much every day, or is it pretty crowded?
There definitely were some spouts of loneliness, but I definitely saw people every day. There were maybe a couple days, like I can only think of like two, that I didn't pass a single person.
Oh, wow.
But otherwise, it's like there were days in Pennsylvania where I was really hiking by myself and camping by myself. There were other people in the campsite, but, you know, I didn't necessarily know them. They weren't my trail friends. So I would mostly just kind of keep to myself and keep on keeping on. So, yeah.
What were some of the high points for you, the moments you really remember?
Some of the high points, let's see. Grayson Highlands was amazing with the wild ponies down in Southern Virginia, close to North Carolina. And then at the very end in Maine, I got to see the Northern Lights, which was amazing.
That must have been.
It really was. It was so awesome. It was like a week after I almost died. And
we'll get to that.
Yeah. But the Northern Lights were amazing. It was a total surprise. It's always been on my bucket list, but I never expected to see them on this trail. And it was just a magical moment for about 15 minutes.
We have a commercial break coming up, but stay tuned as we talk with Lindsay Schmittel of Gingerly Press, who walked the Appalachian Trail last year and lived to talk about it and make some art about it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Art Watch. This is John Chambliss. I'm continuing the discussion with Lindsay Schmittel, a local artist who used her trip on the Appalachian Trail last year to create a series of images that document all 2,200 miles. Lindsay, you were saying before the break that you had a little brush with death there. But I mean, specifically, when you're walking the trail, you're kind of out of touch for a large part of it, right? You don't really know what's going on. Time in the news. Did you feel like you missed a chunk of news, or were you happy to miss a chunk of news during your walk?
I'd say I was kind of pleasantly pleased to miss some news. Yeah. It was like, at points it wasn't avoidable because you've got all these other people, and when you hit a town, they're all on their phones checking the news.
Okay.
But
for
me, I was not searching it by any means. I was happy to just enjoy being present in the moment instead of worrying about, you know, all the other things going on in the world.
Towards the end of the trip, you had a little semi-disaster, so tell people what happened there.
Yeah, I had a brush with death, definitely. Mm-hmm. We were camping, we were setting up camp, but we were trying to get a hitch at night, before the sun fell, and so we didn't get the hitch because it was a dirt road in Maine, and we went back to the campsite nearby the road, and a handful of us pitched our tents there in the dark. We knew it was going to rain that night. No big deal. We all cooked and went to bed. About 12:30 in the middle of the night, I woke up to things falling all over me, and my legs were pinned down, and I had no idea what was going on. I was in a dark tent, mind you, so I couldn't see anything. I couldn't find my headlamp. And this was how I woke up from sleep. So, what it turned out to be was a dead tree that was about 10 feet away from my tent that I never saw when I pitched my tent because it was dark.
Yeah.
And it cracked, and everybody in the campsite apparently heard the crack except for me. And then it came down and it fell across my legs. And luckily, because it was up on a hill, there was a centimeter gap giving my legs room from both being snapped in half right away. The tree on its way down then broke in half, and the top half then fell about a foot above my head and smashed my stove, which also could have exploded on me at the time, the fuel canister, and luckily didn't. So I had a very lucky experience falling in that little happy space right in between the tree falling. It was about an 18-inch wide tree, so it was a very heavy waterlogged tree.
Boy.
Certainly wrecked my tent, but I walked out without a scratch.
Those of you planning on hiking the Appalachian Trail, don't worry. It's not going to happen to you.
That's what they told me.
So, Lindsay, the plan was to create one art print for every 100 miles you walked when you set out. So that'd be 22 prints, right?
Yeah.
And each print has the statistics about the location on the trail printed on the back, like where you were when you saw this image or whatever. And you picked up things to use along the way in the prints. Talk about the things you picked up off the trail.
Yeah. So I picked up a handful of things. I didn't end up using all of them in the series, but two that I used that I'm really happy with the the results. One was down in North Carolina. We passed through a couple mountains that were just completely burned to the ground from wildfires in 2016. It was super fresh from the fall of 2016, and we were hiking spring 2017. So just black ground everywhere. So I grabbed a spare Ziploc in my bag and started collecting some of the charcoal. And the charcoal was cool because my idea, and which turned out it worked really nicely, actually, in the prints, was mixing it with transparent white ink. So transparent white ink is, you know, you've got two different whites in letterpress printing. There's opaque white, which is white as you know it, and then there's transparent white, which is like a caramelly kind of clear. It prints clear, essentially. So I could mix the ground up charcoal with the clear ink, and it turned out to this really awesome gray with all these little specks in it, which was awesome. And then the other one was I picked up a bunch of birch bark up in the Northeast. There's a ton of trees up in Vermont and New Hampshire.
Shedding their bark.
And so I never took it off the tree. I just grabbed it from the ground and mounted that on board and was able to print that, to print some birch trees in my work. And it was very nerve-wracking printing them because the bark peels. And it just kept peeling, but it kept printing. And it kept printing just fine. And it was a happy accident. So I was pleasantly surprised.
The prints were to thank your backers who had funded this in advance and thank them for the support of your walk. But getting them done has taken a little longer than you thought. So talk about the process of distilling that whole trip down into 22 images. Was it an editing problem?
Oh, I don't think it was much of an editing problem as much as giving myself the permission and confidence to make freely. I always was, my background is as a graphic designer. And so I'm constantly almost overthinking things at times. And so I felt like I was overthinking the designs. I had the stories that I had collected from the trail, and it was a matter of putting them into the visuals that I had seen in my head, but I couldn't get them out onto the paper. And so at one point I had to look up other abstract artists and just see how weird they were getting to, like, give myself permission to get as abstract as I felt like I wanted to, because my normal viewers are seeing, you know, nice, crisp graphic design. They're not used to seeing, like, big abstract wall prints. So this was a new territory for me. And so that was the biggest challenge, definitely.
But they're done and they're getting distributed soon. And you can kind of close that chapter, right? For those who might not have seen your work, and I know this is radio, I would hold up the picture, but that wouldn't really work. Your work is very clean. It looks like it was designed by a typographer or a graphic designer. And it uses kind of patterns and type to suggest landscapes. Like the tents, for instance, are little half circles. And the trees are little triangles on trunks or little strips of color. So, and the stars, which I love, are fields of little dots. So how do you look at metal type and think, oh, this looks like a mountain or this looks like a tree? Talk about that process.
For me, it's a fun puzzle. Trying to make something that is so old into something much more contemporary looking and something that's a mix of abstract but also realism. So in the series, a lot of what I did was I took large blocks of color carved from plywood to get a nice wood grain in them sometimes, or a flat color, and then that would be the landscape. And then I would use the metal type, which is much smaller in scale, to create, you know, you put a little half circle on top of this big mountain looking structure, and all of a sudden you have a tent on a mountain.
And it gives you the sense of scale that
you
were experiencing.
Yeah, it gives you a sense of scale.
It's very tiny little dot.
Yeah, so I enjoyed using the little metal type paired with the large shapes to show that scale of, you know, this humbling scale. When you were out there on the trail, it was like, you are so small in this world. It was a very big realization that, like, any of your problems are very small in the midst of everything else. So, like, that's what I tried to convey in the prints.
There's a crossover appeal with these images. I mean, they're fascinating for hikers because you've got all the technical information and they've been there. They know what that experience is like. But they also function as great pieces of art. You might never have needed to walk the Appalachian Trail to appreciate them. They're very concise and yet very expressive. So do you find that people from both camps, I mean, hikers as well as art lovers, kind of respond to them differently?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel like I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. I've done a couple gallery shows this past spring, and I was just really just pleasantly surprised with how much great feedback I was getting. And I was thinking only the hikers would relate, or only the art people would relate. Yeah. But then you have just your average Joe walking down the street who is like, I love this. And what they really loved is the stories that were paired with the prints.
Yeah.
So each print had a little write-up story that when I was displaying them was displayed right underneath the print, and which will be printed on the back of the print as well. Yeah. But yeah, it was the story of, you know, they felt like they were hiking the trail with me, is what they had said to me. So whether you are a hiker, whether you're, you know, just anybody, or whether you're an artist, somehow they've related to a lot of people just through the storytelling themselves, which has been really cool.
That's great. Does it feel like this has closed this chapter in your life, or do you think the lessons of the trail are going to stick with you in your work?
I think the Kickstarter itself will be kind of like a closing of an era once all that stuff is shipped out, which will be a nice relief off my back. But otherwise, I think there's a lot of the trail that will continue with me for the rest of my life. I feel like one of the big things was positivity, and always, no matter what the circumstances, you're the person, when it comes down to it, who decides whether it's going to be a good day or a bad day.
When it's all up to you.
It's all up to you and your mental state of mind. So, you know, it's, you know, are you going to be upset about this for the next 4 hours, or are you going to just keep on keeping on and make the best of it and try to find the good things, even if it's rained for the last week and you're hiking through it? So,
and that's applicable to life, not necessarily people who are hiking the trail.
Yeah.
Among your plans is a move to Asheville, North Carolina soon. So talk about why there and what you'll be doing there.
Well, mountains is like a huge part of it.
Mountains.
So I've lived in this area just about my whole entire life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking to expand a little bit and just expand from other, you know, learn from other people and be in other communities and see what I can find. I'm definitely drawn to the mountain scene down there. They have a really fantastic art scene down there as well. Great food, great music, great beer, all of the above. Good stuff. It's going to be quite a big adventure because I know one person in Asheville, but beyond that, I'm looking to make new friends, and I think it'll be a cool experience.
That is so cool. You're up for another adventure.
Yep, another adventure.
Not quite as strenuous, but...
Yeah, less strenuous.
Yeah,
well,
strenuous.
We'll see about the move.
Yeah.
The move could be strenuous.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, for coming on the show today to inspire someone to take on the trail, or maybe just look at your artwork. If you want to see images of Lindsay's work and read about the whole Printed Walk project, you can visit her website at gingerlypress.com, which is GINGERLY press.com. Next week on Art Watch, Andrew Snyder, an artist and Westchester University professor, hosts Maggie Kreshkoff, a Maryland artist whose whimsical pottery and her sculptures made out of old tin cans and other cast-offs are constantly amusing, and she has some great stories to tell. So until next week on Art Watch, I'm John Chambliss. Tune in every Wednesday from 1 to 1:30 on station WCHE 1520 when we continue to explore the world of the arts in Chester County. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks, John.